Before we thank God for another good morning that God has given us to listen to His Word, and we carry on with looking at the Scriptures. So we're in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, and the last time we were able to share about the seed of David, and we saw that the core of that message is that God is a God of covenant, and if we can follow the life of David, we can see his faithfulness. Then we can have the confidence for our faith today. When God picked up a nobody, a shepherd boy, one who was rejected by his own parents, forgotten, and made him to be king. And because of his love for God, he experienced the mercy of God, the sure mercies of David. And because of his desire to build a temple for God, God establishes for him a covenant of salt, one that cannot be altered, one that is fulfilled in Christ. And the seed of Abraham and the seed of David is Christ. And we are all partakers of that blessing, of God through Christ. So the seed is always Christ, and that is something that we must always be reminded. And now today, when we look at what is the continuing defense of Paul to Timothy, one of the things that we'll see is that he encourages him not to be ashamed, and one of the things that will happen, especially when someone is going through persecution, many people run away from them. Imagine you have a man of God or a pastor, and then he is arrested, he's in prison, and when the world thinks that it is only those that are prospering that are the true servants of God, they don't see that at times persecution comes, chains come. But this cannot change the gospel. And this is one of the things that Paul strongly encourages Timothy, that the word of God cannot be changed. So let us read 2 Timothy chapter 2, and let us read from verse 8. The Bible says, "Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains, but the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." So you can see Paul was saying that, look here, I am suffering as an evildoer. Like, I'm suffering like someone who is a criminal, even to the point of chains. But one thing you can be sure, that the word of God is not chained. Physically, they may chain us. Physically, they may put us in prison. But this only serves to further the gospel. This only serves to spread the gospel. And Paul encourages Timothy to continue holding on. And he's telling him, look here, I'm also enduring all these things for the sake of the church, for the sake of the elect, the chosen people, that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So salvation is only found in Christ, and Paul is ready to suffer all things to ensure that the church remains steadfast, to ensure that the church remains stable. Let's look at verse 11. The Bible says, "This is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself." You know, I love the way it's like, it sounds like a proverb, it sounds like a song, it sounds like a hymn, But he's saying this is something that is trustworthy. These are statements that have been tested to be true. He says that if we died with him, that means that not that if we will die with him, if we died with him, there is a death that we undergo. When we give our lives to Christ, we die to the old man. We die to self. We die to flesh. We take ourselves to the cross and we crucify the sinful nature with all its passions and desires. And God says that if we died with him, if we really went to the cross and surrendered ourselves, surrendered our own ambitions, surrendered our own interests. I'm sure Paul was a man who possibly I'm sure he would have wanted to get married. He would have wanted to, you know, to raise children, to have a home like everyone else. Remember when he says, is it I and Barnabas who are not entitled to take believing wives along? No. He says that all these things he let go for the sake of the gospel. There are things in him that he had to put to death. He had to let go. And he says that if we died with him, you can be assured the exchange that we get from God is that we shall also live with him. There is an assurance that there is nothing that you do for God that will go unrewarded. Be it a sacrifice of prayer, be it a sacrifice of worship, be it a sacrifice of praise, be it a sacrifice of giving, be it a sacrifice of service unto others for the sake of the kingdom, everything that you do for the sake of the gospel, you shall receive a reward for it. And that's why I said this is a faithful saying. If we endure, that means if we persevere, we go through the motions, we go through the chains, we go through the persecutions, we go through the ridicule, we go through it even when it looks like it's not easy. You know, the meaning of endurance is that you are already at the point where you are stretched beyond your capacity. You are stretched beyond your ability. But even when you are stretched there, you still find the inner drive, the inner strength to just take an extra step forward, to continue in it, to not deny the faith. And God says, if you endure, you shall also reign with him. That means that the crown awaits for those who are able to bear the cross. As you're able to endure, as you're able to persevere, as you're able to continue persistently in the faith, then there is going to be a reigning. There is going to be a time where we shall reign with him. The Bible tells us that we shall sit on thrones with him. We shall judge the nations. We shall rule the nations. There is going to be a world after this that we are going to be partakers of, and not just as mere citizens, but as rulers, as those that shall reign with him. God has promised us a kingdom that we shall reign with him. But he also says that if we deny him, he will also deny us. And this must have been a very strong statement, especially for people who are facing death. You know, you can imagine these are people who are brought before lions. They are told, deny the faith and we will set you free. Deny this Jesus. Accept that you guys are criminals. Accept that you are following the wrong thing. If you just change, then we will give you all this wealth and all that. And the warning is there. If we deny him, he will also deny us. How many times do we deny Christ? Think about Peter. Peter was asked, this man was also with Jesus. He denied him 3 times. He said, I don't know him, to save his own skin. Said, I don't know him, to save his own, you know, his own life. And then Jesus had said, Peter, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that after you have returned, you shall awake and strengthen your brothers. If we deny him, even to the point of death, we deny him, then sadly, he shall also deny us before the Father. But if we represent him, if we acknowledge him, he will be with us. Then he says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. So look at the beauty of God. He says that you can be faithless. There are points where you can lose your faith. But one thing you can be sure, that God remains faithful. Because his name is faithful and true. Remember when Jesus comes back, on his robe is written, faithful and true. That means that he stays steadfast. He does not change. We human beings may change, but God does not change. He remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. That means the things that God has promised, he will fulfill. He will fulfill in our lives. He will fulfill in your lives. Look at verse 14. The Bible says, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words, to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. You know, it was common for that time philosophers to keep striving, arguing, you know, trying to determine who is right and what is the latest idea and all that. And he's just telling him, look here, you are my servant, you are God's servant. There's no point for you to strive, you know, about words that lead to no profit. There are times where you don't even need to engage in certain discussions. There are people who don't, who engage not because they want what is right, but just for the sake of winning an argument. There are people who will just try to prove a point. God is saying there are times that you do not need to strive with words which end up with no profit, but the end result is the ruin of the hearers. The people who think that God can be reasoned from the logical perspective, God is not in the realm of logic. He is in the realm of faith. If we understand him in faith, the Bible has said, if he remains to be faithful, he cannot deny himself. God is understood in faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because he that comes to God must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Only those that understand that God is not one to be strived, to be, you know, it's not a striving matter. God remains to be a fact that cannot be denied. It is for you to align to that truth and not focus on things that just bring in confusion. Verse 15, he tells Timothy, be diligent or study to present yourself approved to God, a workman or a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There is a diligence that is needed of every servant of God or of every child of God. And that's why he's telling him, you need to be approved of God. That means it is not even men that approve. I was reading one of the preachers, Brother Bill Akani, and in his Bible school, he doesn't give certificates. He says the only approval that you will get is God approving you. So you go through his training, but how will God approve you? Through the evidence of the work that you do and through his mark over your life. So you see, when the Bible says study, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, or a workman approved of God, approved by God. It is God that approves. You know, men can give you certificates, men can give you diplomas, certificates, and all these things, but the greatest approval comes from God. When God says, this is my servant, have you considered my servant Job? You know, have you considered him? There is none like him. That is an approval from God. Think about Noah. The Bible says there was none, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord because there was none like him. Faithful, diligent, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. From time to time, we see the scriptures of God approving men. Look about Christ, he said, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. God is in the one that approves men. When he says study, be diligent. You know, diligence is about consistency. Diligence is about discipline. Diligence is about knowing that this is a serious matter. We must serve God from a place of seriousness, from a place of determination, from a place of commitment that indeed, whether I am alone or with others, I will run this race. Whether I am forsaken or abandoned, I will run this race. Whether indeed my family follows me or not, I will run this race. You know, whether it doesn't matter whether it is you are left alone. The Bible says it is a diligence that you prove yourself, you study, you be diligent to show yourself a workman approved of God, rightly dividing the word of truth. And you see, when you are approved by God, you cannot be ashamed. You're not going to quote scriptures that are wrong and then people start to follow up and then you found yourself off. You know, God is looking for men he can use, men he can send, men who represent him. You see, when Paul says, it is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. He's trying to say he's gotten to the point where if you come and interact with him, it is no longer his flesh that comes out. It is no longer the old Paul that you know, but it is Christ that is living through him. That's why he can say boldly, follow me as I follow Christ. Are we at the point where we can tell people, follow me because I follow the pattern of Christ? There is a confidence, there is an assurance that you have been approved of God. It is God that approves men. Human beings can seek their own approval. They can seek, you know, the words of other human beings trying to approve them. You know, when you go for all these meetings and all that, you can see all these praises and all these statements that people make. But all that does not matter. What matters is what God says about you. And he says it is your diligence that brings you to the place of approval. Study. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The more you read the word of God, the more you study, the more you are able to divide the word of truth. The more you are able to break it into small pieces. You are able to break it into understanding. You are able to teach others. And that's why he is told that, look here, this is not the point where you're going to be striving towards that don't lead to profit, but rather they result in the ruin of the hearers. Verse 16, but shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Himenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So he's being warned, look here, as you rightly divide the word of truth, you're going to encounter some of these men. You can think of their mention, Himenaeus and Philetus, who have turned away from the faith, you know, and they are spreading this message because these were people who are proponents for the law. They wanted people to be circumcised for them to be saved. And he says their message is already spreading like cancer. And worst of all, they're even saying that the resurrection is already gone. You can imagine if you tell people that Jesus has already come back, the resurrection has already happened, then what is it there that is left for them to live for? They can just live as they want. They can go on into sin because at the end of the day, there is only judgment that awaits for them. You see, that's why he's saying their message was spreading like cancer. They have strayed away from the truth and they even overthrow the faith of some. You know, wrong doctrine leads to wrong life. But if you have the right doctrine, then you can have the right application in your life. Then he says, nevertheless, look here, we can be sure of this. God's solid foundation stands. The solid foundation of God stands. And what is this foundation? That it stays with a seal that the Lord knows those who are his. And then it also says, and let everyone who names or everyone who is called by the name of Christ, if you are named by Christ, if for sure you are someone that is of Christ, then you must depart from iniquity. God knows those who are his. At the end of the day, when men will bring in their old false doctrines, when men will teach their own philosophies, you know, there was some funny clip that was just was seeing yesterday. And this pastor, he's trying to tell people, you know, don't count your money at night. After 9 p.m., don't count your money. I don't know, you know, funny rules that you're wondering, how did this thing become scripture anymore? How do you start teaching people, you know, about that wealth and all these things, and you're telling people that you should not count your money at night and all this? All just philosophies, all just doctrines of men, you know, all are just funny teachings. But God says, the Lord knows those who are his. If for sure you belong to Christ, you will discover the people who belong to Christ and you will walk along with them. You will hear them. My sheep hear my voice, and they cannot hear the voice of a stranger. There are times you can even listen to someone and you're like, for sure, there's something. You might not know what is wrong, but you know that this person does not belong to Christ. God knows those who are His, and He gives us that discernment. And so even doesn't matter whether those of Hymenaetas and Philetas are preaching their own messages, God knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Christ, or everyone that is called of Christ, depart from iniquity. God wants us to stay steadfast. Look at verse 20. The Bible says, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work." God is saying, in every house, there, when you go to your own house, you'll find there are different kind of vessels. You and I are unique in our own way. You're called for one thing, I'm called for another thing. Your area of strength is in one area. The other person's area of strength is another area. All of us are different kind of vessels. There are cups, there are spoons, there are knives, there are forks. You know, you cannot eat using a knife because the knife is for cutting. You know, there are cups, there are bowls. All these are vessels. But you see the difference. It's not even about what they are made of. There are those that are of gold. There are those that are of silver. There are those that are of wood. There are those that are of clay. There are those that are used for honor. There are those that are used for dishonor. But the only difference is the usability of the vessel is only based on its cleanliness. Remember when it says, let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Iniquity is willful sin. You know, when you're crossing the line that you know this is wrong, that is iniquity. Now, God wants us to depart from iniquity. And He says that if anyone cleanses himself from dishonor, from iniquity, from sin, from the things that corrupt, then the Bible says you'll be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master and prepared for every good work. When a vessel cleanses itself, when you cleanse yourself, when you take away things that lead you to sin, when you know them, you know, whether it's, you know, movies or what, there are things that you must cut out. Once you cut them out and you cleanse yourself by the blood of Jesus, you purify yourself, you go to the purifying fire, you ask Him to deal with you, to deal with the things that are not of God. When you take them to God, then the Bible says, then you shall be useful for every good work. God desires to use vessels. He desires to use us. He desires us to be carriers of the presence of God. And we will only carry the presence of God if we are faithful and if we continue to be steadfast. And how is it all? Verse 22. Flee also youthful desires, youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, and with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So run away from youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, and on those with those who call on the Lord with a pure heart. Verse 23, but avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Remember, all these are guidance that Paul is giving to Timothy to stay steadfast, to teach the people the right way, to stay as a servant of God, not to quarrel, not to lead into strife, but to teach, pray for them, encourage them, and pray that they will come to their mind and escape the corruption of the devil, even though we know they have been taken captive by his will. I'll stop here. I pray that God gives us insight into this. Brother, you're welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Manuel. Lord, for the vision from my side.
Okay. Sure, let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we give you glory. Thank you for your word, thank you for your encouragement. Indeed, your inscription stands firm. You know those that are yours. And indeed, you say that let everyone that calls on the name of Christ depart from iniquity. I pray for grace, I pray for strength, that indeed we be vessels of honor, cleansed, sanctified, and useful for the Master, and prepared to do every good work. I thank you for your word that cleanses, your word that purifies. Indeed, you told your disciples, you're already clean because of the word that you have received, the word that you've had. And I thank you for the blood that sanctifies, that purifies, that makes vessels worthy of honor. And indeed, thank you that, Lord, indeed, workmen, you need workmen. You continue to make us, you and I, workmen that are vessels of honor, approved of God, and indeed ready to do your work. And indeed, I thank you, I praise you, and I worship you, God. Remember our families, watch over them, protect and preserve them, keep and sustain them, oh God. Thank you for the church, the Lord, you continue to build it. Indeed, you say you shall build the church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. I thank you for your promises. They are yes and amen. Continue to speak to us, continue to speak through us, to guide our steps and to watch over us. Indeed, touch those that are unwell and renew our strength in all things. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name, we pray and believe. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Shalom. That's a blessed day.